Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, here we are on a Thursday night. Scary Cast. This is Dr. John Stamey. It's so good to be here with everybody. My buddies are here tonight, first of all, from South Carolina, like me, the one and only Robin McCray. Robin, how are you doing tonight?
I'm great. Glad to be here, John.
We are glad you're there, too. And this weekend, you and I have a lot of fun coming up at the Bigfoot Town Hall meeting in beautiful Aiken, South Carolina, on the campus of Aiken College. That's really cool. I am really excited.
Great way to start off the conference season. I've got all the stuff for the table ready to go. I've got the T-shirts for the Hominology Project, and we've got Igor Borsev's new book that's out. So we are ready to go.
I've got some more workbooks and everything, so I'm ready to go too. Well, that's great. And of course, it wouldn't be complete without Tony Filosi from Harlan County, Kentucky, the center of murder, madness, and mayhem on the East Coast. How are you doing tonight, Tony?
I'm doing fine, John. I'm happier than a porcupine in a balloon factory. Now, how's that for happy?
I love that. I love it. I don't have to use that one, Tony.
You can. You're welcome to it.
Having a porcupine in a balloon factory. Well, that's great.
Well, we're
glad everyone's here. We ended up talking about some interesting things last week, and we didn't get to talk about the topic we had selected, which is our own personal favorite stories of the paranormal, scary things, murder, madness, and mayhem, and all that. So we're going to get to do that tonight, finally. So first of all, ladies first, why don't you give us a story, and then we'll let Tony talk, and then I'll talk, then we'll go back around the circle. And that should give our listeners something to chew on and enjoy. So first, Robin McCray.
Hey, now you want a paranormal story?
Whatever you want.
Well, I've got a couple of things. I was going to start out by talking about the world famous Patty from the Patterson Gimlin film. Everybody loves Patty. Everybody loves Patty. They celebrate her right and left. What not a whole lot of people know, some researchers do, is that the Bigfoot hate her. They have hated her for a long time. And they had at one point in time actually removed her from the clans because she would literally go and watch people. And the video that was shot, and I'm not going to go into analyzing it because that's not really my strong suit, but the video that was shot, she was not the only Bigfoot that was there. There's been a lot of controversy on it. But our Bigfoots don't like her because they think that they labeled her a traitor. They consider her a traitor to their people, and many Bigfoot died because she was seen. And so they want nothing to do with her. And, John, I think you and I talked one time. She had wanted, or you had wanted to celebrate Patty. Remember, we were going to do the cookies and all kinds of stuff for the conference?
Yes.
And I said, we absolutely can't. They were just having a fit. They literally, all these years later, and they still hate her with an undying passion. And it doesn't matter what clan I talk to, I get the same response from every single one of them. She was a traitor. Our people died because of her. She disgraced us. And, you know, everybody found out about the Bigfoots because of her. So there's a whole flip side to that beautiful film that there is. I mean, the film's fantastic, but there is a flip side to it.
Okay. Well, wow. That's very interesting because I know that the first Bigfoot day that we had up at Kingsport, Tennessee on Bays Mountain Park, we had a birthday cookie. And we had some birthday cookie because we didn't know the story. But I'm glad you told the story because it's very unfortunate.
Yeah, they go into it pretty in-depth about she had a tendency to to get close to the humans and to watch and study the humans. And there was according to some of the clans that I spoke with, there was some concern about a relationship with a human that she had. And, Yeah, they don't like her. And in that particular film, like everybody else in the world, when you look at it, you think, oh, it's just this one singular Bigfoot walking across this area. And that's just so not the case. There were many of them that were in the bushes and the trees, and they died because of it.
That is absolutely the case.
Yeah, and if she was walking, towards the other foot, other Bigfoot. Well, the thing was, she was scared. So she was walking towards her people. Unfortunately, when she walked towards her people, it alerted the people with guns that there were Bigfoot there, and several died because of it, where if she would have turned around and went back the other way, she would have been leading them away from their people. And this is all, you know, like I said, this is what I've been told from several different clans. And so there is a lot of hard feelings there, and she's not been forgiven. So she's a hero to our people, but she absolutely is not with theirs.
Well, there have been some analyses of that film, and it shows there are four or five other faces that can be seen when you adjust the editing properties. So yeah, it's an amazing thing.
Yeah, there's a much bigger story there than anybody realizes.
Well, now is Patty still around, or has she expired?
No, she's no longer alive. She's gone on.
Gotcha. So, well, that's an interesting story, and one that really deserves a little bit of consideration. It really does. So, I mean, you know, thank you for telling us that story.
Yeah, I think she's a hero for our people, because it really, I mean, there had been incidences with the Bigfoot prior to Patty anyway, but it was the first time we really had a clear picture of one to say, you know what, it's not just a story anymore. There it is in black and white. Unfortunately, for their side, it did not pan out, you know, in a positive manner.
Yeah. Wow. Okay, well, that's a great story. That was a short one. Do you have one more you could tell us on this first round?
Well, the paranormal part, I was thinking when you said about the paranormal, when I lived in Michigan, I had two or three Bigfoots that would follow me everywhere I went, and I knew they did. They, you know, wherever I was walking, I could hear them walking in the brush. And that was back when everybody was all hot and heavy about can they cloak, can they not cloak. And I knew that they could because, like I said, they'd been around me since I was a kid. So I already knew they could, but now everybody was making this big deal out of, you know, do they or do they not cloak. So I thought, well, you know what? What if I'm wrong? I mean, I've watched them disappear. I've had them come up and put their hand on my head and on my shoulder or whatever, and then turn around and nothing's standing there, but I can still feel it on my physical person. So I went outside the first time, and we had where the house was, there was a front woods, the house, a woods cluster, and then another one at the far back. And I was on my way to the back, and it was fall, it was getting ready to snow. And as I'm walking, I'm looking over and I'm watching the leaves depress down and footprints being made as I'm walking next to me. And I thought, because I said to him, I said, you know what, you guys, I know I can hear you. I can feel that you're there because I can feel their energy. But I need some proof. Like, everybody's going to think I'm nuts. And as I'm walking, I'm looking over and watching footprints being made on the ground. I would stop. It would stop. I'd walk forward. It would walk forward. And it did. It left a whole track of prints, but yet I never saw a visual of them. I could feel their energy that they were there or he was there. You know, I knew he was there. He was mind speaking with me, but I could not see his physical body. But by gosh, if not footprints were not made, probably like 3 foot off my side as I'm walking.
Wow.
I think I have snow as well.
Was there any indentions or physical footprints left after? Wow. So you could
absolutely
see. You could
and
see
this was
body.
A crackway of prints. It was not just, you know, a lot of times you'll only get one mm-hmm. footprint here, one footprint there. It's,
right,
honestly,
right.
As crazy as it sounds, they can levitate. But this was a solid. I just said to him, I'm going to go outside, you guys. Everybody says you can't do this. I know you can. I've seen it. But you know what? I just need something to make sure I know I'm not crazy. And as I'm walking down this path, I'm looking, and here are these footprints being made. And I probably went a good 100 feet, 150 feet maybe. And it shadowed me the entire way. And then I heard snickering and laughing, and it was gone. So apparently, because I was wondering about it, that's why they did it. But yeah, it was pretty cool to actually sit there and watch footprints being made and not see anything physical there. It was crazy.
An amazing story.
Yeah, it was pretty cool, though. I have to be honest. And it, like I said, that winter did it in the snow, too.
I've actually been involved. Go ahead.
Yeah, tell us, Tony.
I've actually been involved in a case like that, but it was more of a paranormal deal. We were investigating a graveyard, influenza graveyard. There was possible mass graves there, and it's basically forgotten by the residents. And the first time we had went in and investigated, I started getting these really crazy EVPs, and the entities weren't sure if we was what to think of us or whether we were there to do them harm or to help them.
Yeah.
So as the evening progressed and we convinced them, or I convinced them, that we were there to help them, we called an EVP with you could tell he was very, really thick twang accent. He says, "Well, praise God." Well, we were there trying to help them, yeah. And before the EVPs coming through were like, "Can't trust you, watch the ring." And we think there was people there that had were positive. There were people that had been there doing some sort of rituals, because they'd arranged the some of the gravestones around it, an oak tree. And it was little bits of charred. I don't think they dug anybody up because there was any open grave, but there was definitely charred material on some of the gravestones. Then,
oh, wow.
Wasn't early in my career. It was about, I've been back investigating about 5 years or so, but it, so I went back, and this is one of the few times I've ever seen a daytime orb. A lot of times, I'm not a big orb guy, but now sometimes, you'll see them, and this is one of the few times I think that I've only seen a daytime orb twice. And so we saw this daytime orb, and I mean, the energy here was just really off center. It was just real hinky, real, I don't want to say dark, but oppressive. And I went back a few days later, a week or so later, with a couple of investigators. And as I walked around the perimeter of the graveyard, because we had found some upside-down crosses that we had taken down on the initial investigation. So
yeah.
I'm walking around the graveyard to see if there's anything else like that. And
yeah.
I had two females with me, and they told me later that there wasn't anything really blooming. It was late winter, maybe very early spring. And they said they saw a yellow flower, a single yellow flower in the graveyard. And they said, "Oh, what a beautiful flower." They go toward the flower, toward the flower, and it just disappears. Like a hologram,
oh,
it just shimmers and disappears. Then they come back. They got back down to the trail that kind of goes around the graveyard, and the two females split up. One, and they weren't very far apart, maybe 30 yards. And the one, her name was and Belinda. Belinda was standing there, and I'm probably 50 or 60 yards, maybe 70. The other investigator's probably 30. She starts screaming. And we get to her. We you know, just imagine, kind of like a Blair Witch Project. You're running through the woods, but you're back, you know, to get to your teammate. And she's can't breathe. She has her hands up to her throat and just suffocated. It turning purple. She had done turn purple. So we grab her and get her into the vehicle and take off, because we don't know whether she's been having some sort of seizure, allergic
yeah.
reaction, you know. So when we break the edge of the graveyard, we can start back up out onto the main highway. And so, you know, what happened? And she got hysterical. And she says, I was standing there, and I could hear this thing. And I could hear the footsteps. And she said, I finally located it, and I could see the leaves mashing down. And somebody walking toward me, or something walking toward me. I couldn't see them, but I could see the leaves depressing. And she says, it got up to me, and she says, what do you want? And she said it was like a hot, wet blanket, wool blanket thrown over her. And so she couldn't breathe. Yeah. She said she couldn't breathe. She thought she was dying. All these thoughts going through her head. And so, you know, she never went back. And we got her out of there, and everything was fine, and she never went back. But I went back several more times and caught some more EVPs. And I worked and had some folks bless the graveyard, and the activity dropped probably 50% because the intuitive that I was working with said, she said there's 10 or 15 people trapped here. So what we think was that somebody was doing a binding ritual and trying to influence these trapped souls to do their bidding, whatever that may be.
Oh, wow.
But that was, it was a, that was kind of a scary one. I've been back several times since, and you always see shadow play, like somebody darting from tree to tree, you know, and you'll hear the footsteps sometimes. Yeah. So that, you know, that was probably 8 years ago, 7, 8 years ago.
Oh, wow. That's pretty interesting.
Yeah, wow. That's amazing. Yeah, we've all got some interesting stories, don't we? Well, Tony, thank you for sharing that.
Yeah, that was good. Very interesting.
Yeah. I've got kind of a crazy one. I met Matt Myers about 5 or 6 years ago when we were doing the Charlotte CryptoCon. We haven't done that in a couple of years. We might haul that thing back out. And it turns out that he wrote the book on the Lake Norman Monster. Now, what on earth is that? Well, around 1958, Duke Power set about to create Lake Norman for hydroelectric power. And they built the Callan's Ford Dam, and the thing filled up. It was just, Tony, is that your cat?
That's
going in the conversation. Robin, is that your cat?
You know what it is? I'm sorry, you guys. It's on the outside of the door trying to get in. It wants to play with the wild cat, and he's in bed for the night.
they will do that. They love their buddies, don't they?
They do.
My cat's
crazy. I don't know why she's doing it.
Yeah. But anyway, so I met Matt Myers, and he had put together the book on the Lake Norman Monster. And so I asked him to give me a little synopsis of how how all this came about. As I said, just before 1960, they started filling up that valley so that they could use it for hydroelectric power. And it turns out that about 1970, people started seeing a large entity in the lake, in Lake Norman. And it was primarily toward the south end of Lake Norman, which is deeper. It's about 130 feet deep, which that's pretty deep now. You know, that's about like the depth of a 13-story
building. Yeah, that's
deep. It really is. And so about 3 people all totaled have seen thing out there. Now, Matt told me one thing. He said, you know, John, I don't want to be an alarmist, and I can say that after 10 years of having no competition, a catfish can get pretty darn big. But
don't
know. But it was very interesting. Just one day he got a phone call, and it was a Japanese film crew who were in the Carolinas looking for paranormal experiences. And they asked him to meet them out at one of the boat docks, and they took a boat out. And they did some filming, and they used some sonar, and they didn't really find anything. But he said it was really a lot of fun going out there with them. That's the same crew that went out into Scape or Swamp in the Lee County area in the middle of South Carolina looking for the lizard man. So, you know, we have film crews coming around from all over the world to take a look at these cryptids that have been sighted, well, certainly in the Carolinas and everywhere else now, weren't ever looking for Bigfoot because I think Bigfoot had eluded them, I believe.
Yeah.
Anyway, it was just kind of neat. Lake Norman Monster gets seen once or twice a year. And Matt said, you know, Matt's trying to tease everybody. He said, well, you know, it could be a big catfish or it could be something strange. It really could.
Well, what do they say it looks like? I mean, does it look like a fish or the creature the Black Lagoon or what?
They get sightings that look a little bit like Loch Ness Monster, frankly.
Wow.
Yes, ma'am.
I'm going to tell you, years ago, and this was before I moved to South Carolina, this would have had to have been in the early 2000s. I had come with a friend of mine to South Carolina, and we were staying with my daughter. So we decided one day we were going to go and drive, I think it was over towards Mount Pleasant, to be honest with you, because I remember that stupid bridge I hate so much. And as we went over this one bridge, it went over the marina, which, of course, you know, filtered into the ocean. And I looked down. I've never to this day been able to find out what it was. And there was this thing moving through the water. And it literally... the body of it reminded me of a snake, but it was about as big around as the tire of a car. And at first I thought it was a seal, but it came up from the water and then it did the arc over back in the water. So it looked like a hump type thing. And it was like a dark with a little bit of a black, with a little bit of a gray hue to it. And it was so shiny looking, you could have seen your reflection in it. And I saw the hump where it went back down. But I never saw a head. I never saw the rest of the body. But, man, did it leave a huge wake when it went through there. And I had to pull over because I couldn't figure out what in the heck I had just seen. And I waited for it to come back up again, and it never came back up again. It was very big. I mean, that hump was as big around as a car tire is around. And it would have been the hump itself would have been a good 4 to 5 foot hump. I mean, as far as the length of it. No, I couldn't see the end of it, and I couldn't see the head. That's what was so bizarre. I found no head that I could visibly see and no tail. Now, if that would have been, my first thing is, it's a seal. You know, we're on the ocean. It's got to be a seal. Well, that would have been the biggest seal I've ever had, but once it went down from that arc going back in the water, there should have been a tail. And I never saw the tail.
Absolutely.
I just saw this hump keep going, and then it just went underwater and it was gone. So this has bugged me. This has literally bugged me for years. I want to say probably 17 years. This has driven me crazy because I've never been able to identify what I saw. I looked in the paper for that day to see if anybody else had seen it. I found nothing. I went on and, you know, Google is your friend. So I literally scanned for anything that would have been in those waters. And nothing matched what I saw. And I've gone 3 or 4 times now. I've gone and looked up, you know, seals in South Carolina. And while there's been a couple different kind, none of them are a solid color. And this was a shiny, dark, dark black. The only reason why it looked like it had a grain is it went and the sun hit it. It kind of looked a little bit shiny, like it might have had like a tiny bit of a gray hue. But it was jet black. And it looked slippery. Like, I mean, I know it was in the water, but it was, you know, shiny. You know how like a snake right after they shed their skin? That's what it looked like. But it was every bit as big around as a tire off a car or a truck. And I watched it come up, and the weirdest thing was when that hump came up, there where the head would have been, that never came out of the water. If it was a seal, the head would have come up, and then it would have went down in the water. It literally looked like all of a sudden this hump just emerged, and it stayed in the shape of a hump. Nothing, I mean, it looked like, you know, you would think something was diving out of the water and back in it, but yet there was never any head, there was never any tail, and then when it went, it just went back down underwater and it never came up again.
Yeah, heck of a surprise.
To this day, that bothers me.
Have there been any more sightings?
Not that I ever found. I looked all over in the paper for that day, and then I did check the week prior to it and the week after, and I never found anything. But I know exactly what I saw, absolutely hand down what I saw. And I thought, okay, what about a manatee? Well, in the parts of the water where I was at, it was much, much, much too deep. But even if it was, it wasn't as big around as a large manatee belly. And it was too dark. The manatees aren't that dark. They're more of a gray color. This was jet black. Like, I could see. I mean, if you were to stand there, you probably would see a reflection. It was that black and that shiny. And the seals in that area, I've looked those up, I don't know how many times on and off through the years, and put in seals that are, you know, in the area. None of them have ever been the same color as what I saw.
Wow.
And I thought if that was a seal jumping out of the water and in the waves, I would have seen a tail. I would have seen a head. There was nothing.
Yeah, you would have seen something.
Yeah, all this was the hump came up out of the water, and then it looked like it was just filtering back down. But then there's no tail or feet that came up behind it. It just kept going right down like it was going back underwater, and it dove, and I never saw it again. And I've been back over that bridge a few times since then, although I hate it. And I look every time, and I've never seen it again. I've never seen any evidence of anybody else seeing it other than the person I was with.
And they saw it as well?
No, he was driving the car. And I said, oh, my God, I just saw. And he stopped immediately. And he saw where the wake from it, you know, where the water was moving, but he never saw the creature.
Mm-hmm.
And I just
wow.
put it to the fact of all the other crazy things I've seen in my life. I'm not surprised.
When you're talking about something big a diameter as a car tire.
Yeah.
That's a pretty large animal.
The hump came out of the water a good 3.5 feet out of the water, and then it just went back down. But the thing is I never got to see the bottom of that underbelly. So it could have been even bigger than what I thought. Although it didn't appear to be from what I saw, it was almost to me, it would look like what you would think was a giant eel or something. But I never got to see the head. I never got to see the back end of it because it came up and then it kind of like humped and just like dove back down. But when it dove back down, you know, if it was a seal, which would be the logical thing, even though they don't have that particular color seal around here, you would have seen the flipper at the end. Because when they dive, they come up the arc, they go back down, and that flipper comes up out of the water. It didn't do this. This came up, and then it started to dive and move forward, and then it went right underwater. And when it went right underwater, it just kept on that hump, kept spinning down, and it never once did it show the end of it. I never saw the head. I never saw a tail. But, man, it left a good-sized wake behind it.
Wow. That's amazing. Well, that's the first time I've ever heard of anything like that in Charleston. I've always wondered because there are a lot of swamps down there, a lot of freshwater swamps, and some saltwater swamps as well. And, I mean, with my familiarity with the lizard man, I'm just surprised that we haven't seen much in the Charleston area. We really haven't. And so that's
well,
one for the record.
One of the areas where they had the that was being fed off the ocean, so it was in the salt water, and it was just in a little inlet where they happened to have a marina and a bunch of boats, and the water went under the bridge and out into the other side.
Well, that's why I don't like the ocean. It can get dark down there, can't it, Robin?
Oh yeah, you can't see what's in it.
Well, you got to think that less than, and I think I'm right on this number, it's less than 10% of the Earth's oceans have been explored. So you don't know what's there. I mean, potential
for unknown species. No, you couldn't pay me money to go swimming in the ocean.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the potential for undiscovered species is just, you know, unbelievably good. So, I mean,
I don't swim in anything I can't see the bottom because
I don't either.
Salt water or fresh water. If I can't see it's not that I'm afraid of being in deep water. That doesn't bother me. I want to know what's coming up to grab me.
Yeah. I mean, I certainly understand. I've got one. It's kind of interesting. I've heard of most things in North Carolina. I don't even tell this one and go into it a little bit. I'd like for you to tell one. Has anyone ever heard of, and are you ready? Has anyone ever heard of the moon-eyed people?
I've heard of that, but I don't remember. The name is familiar.
Yes.
Yeah, Tony, have you heard of it?
I have. It's familiar. I don't know. I don't remember the story, but I absolutely have heard of the moon-eyed people.
All right. Well, here's the story, and I'll tell you why this is interesting because it's funny how you know once you've heard enough stories and delved in the paranormal world enough, you start beginning to see some overlap. Here's how the story goes: the ruins of ancient stone monuments dot the Appalachian Mountains, and according to Native American legends, these are buildings left by the moon-eyed people. The moon-eyed people were a small, night-living race of men with pale white skin and long beards. They were unable to see in the daylight because of the glare. An 850-foot-long stone wall at the border of North Carolina and Georgia, built between about 400 to 500 BC, is credited to the moon-eyed people. Now, Robin, when we get down to a Georgia Bigfoot Conference, I think we may go explore that.
Oh, I
it's
think so.
It's an 850-foot stone wall at the border of North Carolina and Georgia. Well, that actually sounds like where we were going anyway. The place Will Rodriguez told me about, and it's credited to the moon-eyed people. The wall, anywhere from 2 to 6 feet tall, is said to be from a war the moon-eyed people fought against the Creek Indians who attacked during the full moon. Even the light of the full moon was too bright for the small bearded people, and the Creek drove the moon-eyed people underground, where they are said to remain. Now, and some attribute the white bearded moon-eyed people to another legend of Welsh travelers led by Prince Madoc, who arrived in that general area of North America in 1170. However, the evidence of Welsh incursions in North America 300 years before the arrival of Columbus is a little bit tenuous at best, and it's probably safe to say that the Welsh have always seen or have been able to see in the moonlight. The Moonite people remain a mystery. Well, now, this is not the first group of people who have moved underground, because my research into Lizard Man led me to the lizard people of Los Angeles, and they were driven underground as well. And so it's very interesting. Over here we have a race of smaller, shorter people who've been driven underground by apparently an altercation with the Creek Indians. Then we have much the same thing over there in Los Angeles. So it's not exactly like this is a new idea, number one. And number two, we've got the same thing happening on both coasts. So we'll do a little bit more research into the Moon-Eyed people. I think it would be very interesting to see where all else they come up. And I want to go over there to check out the check out this 2 to 6 foot tall wall. It's very interesting. So we'll ask our friend Will Rodriguez to go with us that Sunday and see what we can find. So there you have it. There's another interesting story, the Moon-Eyed people. Tony, I guess in your area, have you heard of anything like that?
There have been tales of a small race of folk. I don't want to say goblins, but there's an interesting.
There is a race of goblins that are attributed to Kentucky.
Well, there's stories. There's local stories, and this is a story related to me by Jenny, my girlfriend, and one of her friends. Whenever they were 8 or 10 years old, they were playing in the mountains up behind her friend's house. And they found a stone, like burial mound.
Oh, wow.
So kids being kids, they moved a few rocks, and they're lucky they didn't get snake bit. A leather pouch. When they picked up the leather pouch, it was so old it just disintegrated, and there was something, from what she tells me, there was something in it, and it just fell into the ground. As soon as that happened, and this is, I'm going to try to actually do a story on this at some point. They said there was this real eerie feeling come over and kind of, and I hate to say a rush of wind because that sounds too melodramatic, but there was a temperature change. And there was this tall, at least 8 foot shadow person, for lack of a better term, that they said the best they could describe it was not kind of reptilian looking, maybe with the needle teeth, and it chased them away from the burial mound. Well, they got out. They told their parents and the grown ups, and oh, it's just your imagination. It's just this, that, the other. Well, later, sooner than later. When you were children, you spent the night with your friend, and they spent the night with you, and things like that. So she was back at her friend's house a very short time later, and there was a shadow person and a really small person that the best way they could to describe it was a goblin. It was goblin. Yeah, not a human form, but more of a, the lore would tell you the goblins look like. It was very, very small, maybe 3 foot tall, pale. And then there was a shadow person that actually came into the girl's room, and one of them, it frightened her so much she couldn't speak.
Oh,
she could
wow.
just point. Yeah, she could just point. And yeah, and so, and there were strange things that started happening in the house, which I believe Jenny's a good investigator in her own right, and very matter of fact and precise when she gives you information. So, and then we had an event about a year ago that her friend happened to be at. And the little girl comes up to Jenny, her daughter comes up to Jenny, and says, "Tell me about that monster that you and mommy saw." So that, you know, this has been, you know, this story's being passed down, but it was that's validated it for me that, you know, there's not going to be some random child from the person that was supposed to have been with you that just walks up and says, "Hey, tell me about what you and mommy saw, that monster you and mommy saw."
Yeah.
And that's within 20 minutes where we live at now. And I'm pretty sure the family still owns the place. It's still in you know, some of that family's possession. So I'm going to try to get permission to go up and find that burial mound, because in East Kentucky there are a lot of unexplained things. We found giant bones here. We found small, I haven't, but you know, I've interviewed folks that have seen these giant bones. There's a fellow, and this is all along the Pine Mountain chain, and this, and I don't know if you, I'm sure you've heard of Hellier. This chain of mountains goes straight over into Pikeville, which is where they're talking about Hellier's at. You know, where they're saying.
Yeah.
And I don't know how much credence I put in the Hellier folks, you know, because the first season they kind of drive around and they're going off this mysterious email and they go, "Oh, this kind of looks like a place that a goblin would be." You know, whenever they start talking about these things living in mines and stuff like that, I think if, and I'm not saying that something like that wouldn't, once a mine's abandoned, wouldn't move in it, but it sounds more like mining, and mines are more historically, Tommyknockers are more historically associated with mines. But yeah, these girls seem, you know, 8-10 foot shadow person, something
they
that
for so dangerous.
Yes, yes.
Anybody that has contact with them, if you see them, just get out of there. Okay, they're supposed to technically be neutral, but the problem is there's a lot of them that are deadly. And from somebody that's had to experience the loss of somebody they love because of it, it's bad. You don't even want them near you.
Oh, I can tell you. The next go around, I'll tell you my shadow person experience, and it was not good. They're the real deal, and they're very, very powerful.
Oh yeah,
very powerful.
And they can change shapes.
Yes.
All right, like they may look like a person standing there, and then if they want to, they can turn into this blobby thing and go right across the room and hover over the top of you. And then when they back off again, and they can go back into what looks like a human form.
I've seen several of them. One at Bobby Mackey's that we had on. And it sounds like another story about, well, I used to have that video, but my computer crashed. And I know the clip's probably out there somewhere, you know. We were doing an EVP session in the basement of Bobby Mackey's, and the shadow from the chair, all of a sudden it formed into this shape, and then I don't know whether one of us turned toward it or caught it, but as soon as that somebody started turning its way or kind of taking notice, it just like melted into the floor, back into the shadow of the chair. We had that on film.
Oh, wow. Now, all right, this moon-eyed people or children or whatever, is that the same as the black-eyed children?
No, I think it's I think it's more like the lizard people of Los Angeles. I think it's more like just a race of people, and they've been forced underground in a number of locations. And, you know, so you keep – when you start hearing the same legends in different places, you start realizing there's something to it.
Yeah, well, they have what's also called the black-eyed deer. Have you ever heard of that?
I have not.
Those, I ran into those in Pennsylvania, in New York, and I flew into Buffalo, New York, and then I went that way and then into where I needed to go in Pennsylvania. And we literally, every time we turned around, they were on the side of the road staring at the car. They didn't behave like a regular deer. We would go down the road, and no matter what road we turned on, there would be a couple of them standing by the road watching the car. We would go by, and they would literally watch the car and turn their head and just keep following the car. And then you'd look back, and they'd vanish. We never saw them leave, never saw them running across the field or anything. I mean, they're definitely not a deer. They are something that has shape-shifted into a deer. And a friend of mine actually saw one night, and it was on the side of the road, and the thing went up on hind legs and then walked across the road, and as it went down into the drainage ditch and up, it turned into a Bigfoot. So I don't know what the actual black-eyed deer are, but I do know one thing. They are all strictly paranormal entities. They are not a regular deer that just happens to have darker than normal eyes.
Wow. Now, do you think that these small creatures are anything, any ways connected to the, I think the case is in the mid-50s in Hopkinsville, Kentucky, where that these entities or these creatures besieged a farmhouse for hours, and they would shoot them, and they would just disappear.
Oh,
and
I don't know.
They,
nothing
yeah,
would
there,
surprise
there was a,
me.
There was a big, you know, it's easily found. I've heard the story several times, and the, you know, basically they fought these. They don't know whether they were connected to it, some UFO sightings or whether, you know, where they actually came from. But there was supposed to be this battle, and they finally made it to a vehicle. Went to the local sheriff, and they were hysterical. So he came back, and you know, thinking that I don't even know, you know, what back in, especially the 50s, if you're, I don't know, Hopkinsville probably wouldn't been too small a town, but it wouldn't been a large town by any means in the 50s. So, you know, this guy's coming out there thinking, what in the world are they seeing? Are they shooting at? And they went through and they went through, and I think the military even got involved at some point. But there was some black gooey tar substances found, green or black. And, you know, with the people being like they were back then, they didn't, you know, there's no DNA, there's no this. They didn't put it in an evidence bag and have it analyzed. But I find the sightings of this small race of creatures or people really interesting. And Robert and John, do you think that maybe the small bearded ones are somehow elementals, maybe, or related to the elementals?
It's possible.
I
don't think we have any way to determine either way, but it's certainly possible. It's just as plausible as anything else at this point.
I'm going to start doing more outdoor investigations where that I just go out in the middle of nowhere, and we're going to set up, and we are going to try to make contact with elemental folk if they're of a mind to, you know, just to see what
Tony,
we can, you know, yes.
Go stand and take your cell phone because for whatever reasons they're not as they don't like cameras. None of them do. They believe it steals their soul, and the rest of them just don't like them to begin with because they think it's gonna everybody will know about them then. But use your cell phone camera, stand there, and then just turn in a 360-degree circle and go snap picture, snap picture, snap picture, snap. I mean, just like you're doing scenery. Don't focus it on anything. Just take these random pictures and turn in a circle. And then when it's all done, put them up on your computer screen and blow them up. If there's anything out there and you don't focus the camera on it, it will show up on film.
Hmm.
As long as you are not, the lens is not focused directly on them, it will take a picture of whatever's cloaked.
I wonder if we could do an EVP. Would they, do you think they would communicate with an EVP session type thing? Would they?
I don't know. I mean, it's not going to hurt to try it.
Oh yeah, I'm really interested in the elementals and woods folks. You know.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd be interested to see how that turns out.
Yeah, that is certainly interesting. I mean, you know, we've got, I guess the three of us have a lot of stories that we have come across as we've been around in our travels. But
yeah
definitely. And it's amazing. And we'll have, now this week, as I said, we've got the Aiken Bigfoot Conference and Bigfoot Town Hall. That's at Aiken Technical College in Aiken, South Carolina. That runs from 9:30 to about 6 p.m. And it's going to be a lot of fun. Robin will be there. Janice Carter will be there. William Henry will be there. I will be there. Holly Coy will be there drawing caricatures.
Yeah, my husband, Pat McCray, will be there. So
that's right. Pat's going to be there. We just talked about that. That's great. And then this coming Wednesday, I will be on Channel 7 in Greenville, South Carolina, talking about the Clemson Bigfoot Conference. That thing has gotten some publicity like you wouldn't believe. So
that
should
be fantastic.
Pretty good turnout there. So please come join us, Clemson, South Carolina, in the morning from 10 to 3. We are at the Central Clemson Library, Central being the name of a town. So that's the town of Central and the town of Clemson Public Library. It's on Highway County 3, halfway between Clemson, South Carolina, and Central, South Carolina. Central being given the name because that was the actual spot halfway between Atlanta and Charlotte, and the railroad went through there. So but that's where we'll be. And then from 4 to 7, we will be at the R.M. Cooper Library on the campus of Clemson University. With the Bigfoot Town Hall, talking about stories, having a great time. We'll have vendors there. It's just going to be a blast. So I want to invite everyone to come and have a good time with us, and we'll share some stories and all that good, happy stuff. I'll be talking especially the next 2 weekends about my brand new Lizard Man book. I've done a lot of research. It's been a lot of fun. We're making some headway. Lyle Blackburn did us all a great service by putting together that first Lizard Man book that he did. Lizard Man, the True Story of the Bishopville Monster. And I was talking to somebody today about the book. And I said, you know, about 40 people had experiences with Lizard Man during that year and a half period. And I can absolutely guarantee you 40 people, whether they saw it or experienced property damage or car damage or whatever, if they experienced that, then something was out there. I mean, where there's smoke, there's fire. Where there's a lot of smoke, there's a 4-alarm fire. That's kind of like my take on things. So you can come hear those talks. Robin, you get to hear it twice. And so we're going to have a lot of fun, the same crew. And maybe we'll have Don Tart with us, and I hope we'll have Pat.
Yeah, he's doing better. Don had knee surgery, and he wanted to be at Aiken and Clemson, and he got hold of me yesterday, later in the afternoon, and it's just not feasible yet. He's not mobile enough, so he can't go to Aiken, and he's not sure about Clemson. But I told him, I said, you just get feeling better and then just jump back in when you're ready.
That's great. So here's what I would like to do. I would like to close with a true story, and it's a funny story. Anybody like funny stories?
Of course.
Well, absolutely.
Okay.
It's my
Here's
middle name.
Okay. Tony, funny story. Pelosi. All right, here's what happened. My scales, bathroom scales, are about 20 years old. And one morning I got on them, and they were broken. They didn't read correctly at all. So I waited until I could find some scales that were on sale. So I didn't have scales. I have to watch my weight because I just tend to gain weight. I was scared to death that I was be gaining weight or whatever. And I've been trying to eat so much, I didn't want to jump on the scales and have a horrible, horrible experience that I've gained 10 pounds when I've been trying not to eat. So this evening, I got the new scales at home, and I put them together, put the batteries in them so they would work, and I hadn't eaten anything, and I was just like, oh, gosh, I can't eat anything. It's terrible. I'll probably gain a lot of weight. So I got on the scales, and I'd actually lost 4 pounds. You know what's really funny? As soon as I thought about that, I said, you know, I want some French fries. As soon as I knew I was out of the woods, I wanted some French fries, and I cooked me up some French fries right in the middle of WCW Retro with Papa Stro and those things. They were great. So, yep, that's what happens. That's your mind will fool you. I was hungry. Once I had lost weight, I was hungry. So there you go. I have enjoyed the show with my two co-hosts, and we will see you next week. We will have a guest with us. We're trying to figure out what that will be because I will be in Greenville. I'll be at Studio G, as I call it. I will have just finished the interview on Thursday. On Wednesday. I will be in Clayton, Georgia on Thursday in Franklin, North Carolina, working out details for the Comic-Cons coming up, Georgia Bigfoot Conference, and the Smoky Mountain Comic Expo. So got a lot of good work to do. Looking forward to it. And I'm going to say good night, all. We will get some rest, and we will be back next week on the one, the only, the most frightening hour on Internet Radio, ScaryCast. We'll see you folks next week. Take care.
Take care.
Goodbye,
bye,
everybody.
Everybody.
Au revoir.
Bye-bye.